find out she's challenged these days.
Yes.
Reading Bitzer is challenging her even more.
And more fallout from that.
Well.
See, Bitzer.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, we have a small get together here, but let's go over this anyway. I handed these out on the Monday night class, so let's go through this quickly. This is perspectives for 2008 and the things that we do and don't do. And if you'll read the top there, your business will never grow more than you do. That's that whole idea. You must stretch yourself. You must stretch your mind. You must stretch your consciousness. So how do we simply do that? How do we just grow? It's a subtle, simple process with powerful effects. It begins with our personal beliefs. Remember, you have to know your personal beliefs. And here what we are teaching is what? That you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. These four items you must get embedded inside of every cell in your body, every fiber of your body must realize that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. So in 2008, and especially in January, work on this day in and day out till the end of the month and make it happen for you so that you don't have to keep reminding yourself of this, so that your mind will throw this up every time to you. Oh, you matter. Oh, you're worthy. Oh, you're deserving. It absolutely is a must to know these things if you want to improve your life. Okay? Let's do the matter comments.
All right.
I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. So let's remember that.
Small but mighty.
Small but mighty. Let's remember that in 2008, that we do absolutely matter. Not only to this thing that we call God, but to ourselves, that we matter enough to give ourselves permission to have what we want. And don't listen to outside circumstances, and don't listen to other people. Listen to yourself. In 2008, make this your affirmation or your question. What do I want? What do I want? Repeat that all day long. What do I want? In every situation, ask, what do I want? In any relationship, ask, what do I want? If you get into a conversation with somebody, say, what do I want? Silently to yourself. What do you want out of this whole thing? Otherwise, life just goes, you see. But know exactly what you want. And then give yourself permission to have that. That's the main thing. People do not give themselves permission to have what they want. Okay? And here, let's go down to where it says, is our core belief one that on New Year's resolutions last 3 days? Are we among those who typically set New Year's resolutions or business plan with a deep knowing that eating won't change, consistent exercise won't happen, business will remain the same or get worse, and family relationships will remain strained? You see, people make resolutions, but they don't think anything's going to change in their life. Once you make an affirmation, once you decide that you're going to change, then you must take an action to make that come. You see, you just can't say, this is what I want, and then take no action for it. If you say, I want to lose weight, then you have to change your diet, you have to exercise. You see, you have to do something about it. You are starting up your business again, so you know you have to take action. You're on the internet, you're networking, you're doing things. That's taking action, you see. You always have to take an action. The whole idea in the universe is nothing for nothing. The realm of the coin of the realm in the universe is you must give something to get something. You must give something. What do you give? You give your attention, you give your focus, and you take action, you see. And then things will happen for you. One of the things to remember, or one of them, there are three things to remember. You must have endurance. If you want something, you must have endurance. So tell yourself, I have endurance. Every morning I say, I can do all things through God which strengthens me. I have endurance. And forgiveness. You have to learn to forgive, starting with yourself. Remember, all things start with you and work outward. Forgive yourself for last year. And forgive last year. Anything that happened last year, forgive it. So you can make a new 2008. Otherwise, you're just going to repeat 2008. And the other thing is to live in harmony and to have harmony in everything and to see harmony in everything. Okay, let's go through the rest of this. This whole idea, let's do believe. So this new year is ours. Yes, make this new year yours. This is the year that you want to come into your own, you see. So make it your own. And why not us, you or me? Taking responsibility for our beliefs means a willingness to see them for both the limits and support they provide. You have to see your beliefs. What are you believing? And how are they helping you or hindering you in life? We said before that one thing to always remember is, this is a mental world you live in. So if you know it's a mental world you live in, you can decide any belief that you want. You're the one who chooses to believe that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. Good evening. Come in, come in. Sit down.
This is Andre.
Oh, hi, Andre.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Anywhere.
So we're going over things to remember since it's still January. And remember, January is our month for renewal, meaning to renew yourself. And to renew your mind and your thinking so that you're not going to repeat 2007. So we're reminding ourselves that this is a mental world we live in. The other thing to remind yourself is, it's choice. Your life is choice. How are you choosing to think all the time? Choosing to think the thoughts that you want to think, that is a choice. You have to remember that you're always going to, the choice is always going to be, can I or can't I? You say, which one are you going to pick? Can it be done or is it impossible to be done? Always. In this world, because it's a mental world, you're going to have what's called a dichotomy all the time. And it's paradoxical. Because as soon as you come up with an idea, your mind comes up with five reasons why you cannot do that. And you have to realize that. And it's only your mind. So what do we know about that? We know that we are not our minds. Our minds are ours to use. And we have to learn to use our minds, so that we can think the thoughts that we want to think. So, if you know it's a mental world and you know it's your, the whole idea in life is, what are you choosing? You're the one that's choosing everything that comes into your life. You may be able to blame that on everybody outside, but you're the one that's choosing that. No one's doing it but you. So, learn to change your thoughts. Learn to choose. If it's always going to be a choice between it can be done and it can't be done, which one are you going to choose? You see, it's always going to be, or do you want to be positive or do you want to be negative? You see, so you have to say, no, I want to be positive. And when you are around negative people, your mind starts to go negative, you have to bring it back. You have to bring it over to the positive side. I've told you many times that our bodies and our minds function, and we're created to function on positive things, on positive thoughts. You can think negative thoughts, but your life is not going to be what you want it to be because you allow negativity into it. And your body and everything is not going to run the way you want it to run. Cars are made to run on gasoline. You can put kerosene in them and they will run. But they'll chug and smoke and carry on, you see. Same way with negative thoughts. Negative thoughts inside do damage to you. That's how we get sick. That's how we get everything, by thinking negative. Arthritis and all of the different diseases that people suffer from were first in the mind. You see, in this teaching, we realize that there's no physical causation for disease.
None at all?
No. There's never a physical causation for disease. The body has no causation of its own. Only the mind has causation.
But there are germs. There is a bacteria. They're physical and disease too.
Oh, absolutely.
Doing their job.
Yes, and what are they? What are germs?
They're animal. I mean, they're living things.
Yes, and what are living things?
Eaters.
Ah, but everything is gone.
This is true.
So everything has to work in harmony.
Mm-hmm.
But we get, germs are always here. Now I just came by, I was telling Reva, the sign that I go by this clinic coming up Glendale Boulevard, and it says it's now the peak of the flu season. So now that's in everybody's mind. Mm-hmm. The peak of the flu season is always here. Those germs do not go to Florida and then come here, you'll say, to Pasadena in the winter time. They're always here.
Right.
They don't lurk behind a tree and then all of a sudden jump on you. It's in your mind. You start to think of those things. You start to get run down. There's a wonderful saying. It's this. Such is the nature of life that all at once and all it asks is an opportunity to appear. We always have the germs inside of our body. We have in our throat the germ that causes sore throats. But until we get stressed out, until we give it an opportunity to do something, we don't know that it's there. It lives in harmony with everything. See, it's getting out of balance. Anytime we're out of balance, things happen to us. And we have this new thing that was just invented maybe 40, 50 years ago, this whole idea of stress, that people are under stress. The term stress was an architectural term years ago. It never had anything to do with the body whatsoever. But now we say, oh, that those great people are stressed out. This is stressed out. My job is getting to me. I'm so stressed with this. You start to think stress. You start to set up an opportunity for something to happen to you, you see. So there's no physical causation for disease. Body has no causation of its own. If the body had causation of its own, your legs would get up and walk away from you. And they don't do that. Always it has to be a thought first. I will move my leg. You see, it's a wonderful story about Deepak Chopra, who graduated from Harvard Medical School. And he went back and he gave a talk on the body-mind connection to the doctors, and one doctor came up to him afterwards and said, well, this is just unbelievable. How can you prove that there's the body-mind connection? And Deepak said, wiggle your toe. That's a body-mind connection. You can't wiggle your toe without first thinking, I'm going to wiggle my toe. Otherwise, your toe would be wiggling on its own all the time. So that's what you, but we buy into it. We call that race mind out there, the idea of flus, the idea of colds. How many have you, when you were a child, oh, don't go out with your head wet, you'll get a cold. Don't get into a draft, you'll get a cold. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So, no. There's no physical causation for disease. It's all mental. You have to remember that everything is in the mind first. And we know that when we think about something like that television set was in somebody's mind, and then they invented the television, and they put that, that's how we got that. Didn't just pop up there. You had to think about it first, and oh, we can do this with the television. So you sit down and say, oh, I'm stressed, oh, it's flu season, oh my goodness, I don't want to go to work today, I think I'll get sick. And that's how it happens. So work on that. Don't punish yourself if you get a cold. If I come down with a cold, I don't say, oh, now Dallas, you don't know this teaching and this is a bunch of crap and all this, that, the other thing. I say, well, I must have been thinking crazy thoughts. Now I'm going to think better thoughts about myself and I'm going to heal myself. I'm not going to go through this. I'm not going to say, oh, I had the 3-day cold and this, that, the other thing. I think I'll get over it in an hour and a half. And I sit down and release all that from my body. Say, you don't have to do these things that other people do. So it's a mental world, and it's choice. So learn to think correctly, and learn to think correctly about yourself. So always think highly of yourself. Bring positive energy into your life, into your body. This thing that we call God, or this thing that we call cosmic energy, which is everywhere present, is all around us, is positive energy. So learn to connect with that. And how would you learn to connect with that?
Treatment.
Imagination, my dear.
Imagination.
Imagination is the largest tool that you have in your toolbox, and we get things in our life by using our imagination. And when we were children, we had a wonderful imagination, and then it was taken away from us. Our parents told us to stop doing that, and then we got to school, and they said, don't do that, you can't do this, you can't daydream, you can't do anything, you have to get your mind. I'm telling you, learn to develop your imagination. The more you develop your imagination, the more you'll be able to bring into your life. If you can't imagine something, you're not going to get it. If you can't imagine that you have $100,000, how the hell do you think you're ever going to get it? And some people can't imagine themselves with $100,000, and they never get it. Other people, oh, I can have a million, I can do this, I can do that. It's opening up your mind to your power that you have. And it comes with imagination. Somebody said, how do you develop faith? How do you develop anything? With your imagination. How do you learn more about God? With your imagination. It's your imagination that's doing it. People heal themselves with their imagination. If you're sick, if you have the cold, don't think that you have the cold. Use your imagination and remember when you were well. The mind, the body has to follow that. You see, but most people, when they're, oh, I'm sick. Oh, I don't feel well. I never tell anyone I'm sick. I never tell anyone I'm not feeling well. And I have been sitting in this chair absolutely sometimes. And you were here the night. Mm-hmm. I was absolutely wretched. I made it through the whole thing before I had to run for the door and throw up. But I never left that bother me at all. I kept right on going. You see, that's the whole idea of endurance. You have to have endurance. You see, you have to have endurance. You cannot give in to your mind. You cannot give in to your mind. You see, on Thursday nights or Monday nights, I could say, oh, I'm not too tired, I can't go. I'm too tired, I can't go. I never say that to myself. And I've been up since 3 o'clock this morning. Why? Because of endurance. I'm not planning on staying up till 3 o'clock the rest of my life. But I find it very interesting, and you get an awful lot done, you know. Goodness, can you get a lot done? Mm-hmm. Your day, you know. Mm-hmm. By 10 o'clock this morning, I had so many things done, I thought, oh my goodness, this is wonderful. You know, I'm on a program that I'm doing for 21 days. I get up every morning at 3 o'clock and I do different yoga exercises for an hour and a half to 2 hours, and then I go on about my business. But that's for endurance, and I do it for 21 days. Why do I do it for 21 days?
The egg. The egg?
Yeah.
It takes 21 days
to hatch an egg. Mm-hmm. And to change your habit takes 21 days.
Yeah.
That's just a little rule of thumb. You could probably do it sooner. But I'm doing it in 21 days. So, that's because it's January. That's because it's the new year, and I don't want to live 207 over again. So I'm doing something in January to make sure that I'm doing something different. You see. Otherwise, you're just going to have 207 done again. So, you're new. The title of this class is Prosperity and Abundance, Including Money. But as I tell people, I teach you to stretch your consciousness. I teach you to get a bigger, better idea of yourself and a bigger, better idea of God. And money then follows, because money is always going to be a side effect. It's
That's what I've always believed.
Yes.
It's a side effect.
It's a side effect. It comes after you think. If you think you're prosperous, you think you're successful, then money just seems to come to you all the time. So don't concentrate on money. Concentrate on yourself. Concentrate on knowing that you're worthy. Concentrate on giving yourself permission to have what you want in the new year. Those are the things that count, you see. Otherwise, there's no sense to the whole thing, and you see people out there just doing the same crazy things all the time. I call that race mind out there, and that's the world out there. And you can live in that world, but you don't have to be in that world. You don't have to do all those crazy things that they tell you that you have to do to get somewhere. You don't. There's a completely different way to go through life, and most people do. And if you choose this teaching and choose to change your mind, you'll go through life differently. And you'll go through life happy and joyous and not with all this so-called stress that everyone else has. Because once you realize that you do live in a supportive universe and you live in a universe that responds to you. Now, why do you think the universe responds to you? Well, not only because this thing that we call God created us and that we are part of God. All that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. It's also the idea that we live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. So if we're living, moving, and having our being in that mind, then that mind has to respond to us. That mind has to respond to us. So try to visualize that. Use your imagination for that. I see myself, this part of me, as a little cell inside something much bigger than I am. So when I look at my body, each little cell in there, you see, is also part of everything. So you just bring it all down to you, you see. And then you can expand that out so that you know, yes, this whole thing is here for me. This whole thing is here for me. So I was telling him before you came in, one of the things to say to yourself is, what do I want? You see, what do I want? In every situation, what do I want? So that you know what you want, you see. The human mind, the question that the human mind asks the most is, who am I? You know, we always want to know who we are. We're the only animals that do that, by the way. You know, a dog knows it's a dog. Doesn't ask. Never enters the dog's mind to say, who am I? What am I? But we have to do that. Why do we do that? Why do we say, who am I? That's an awareness that you have a soul, you have a consciousness, you see, and you can be self-reflective, you see. Animals are not self-reflective. We are. So, in the new year, think of those things. Think of those things. How many people here know how much money they want to make this year? You don't. Well, see, you should know that.
I'd like to make $50,000.
Or more. Well, then keep that in mind. Okay. All day long, keep 50 in mind. Write it. Doodle it. So it gets inside of you. You see, if you don't know how much money you want to make, how are you going to make it? You think somebody's going to knock on the door and say, here's your $50,000? You have to know that. It's the whole idea of attraction. It's drawing that into you. It's going to fill. You see, this responsive universe that we live in, if you say 50,000, 50,000, it's going to start finding ways to bring that to you. To bring that to you. That's a mistake most people make. They have no idea how much money they want to make. They have no idea. People go on job interviews and they have no idea what to ask for. You know? And then they come out and say, well, I didn't get that job. Well, of course you didn't get that job. But, you know, you have to know and you have to say, I'm worth $50,000, $60,000. Why am I worth that? Because I know I'm worthy, deserving, totally level. Well, then I matter. interesting. But you're the one who has to do that. It's done with your consciousness. It's done with your thinking. You are the one that's creating your life. Never think that anything outside of you is creating your life. It is not creating your life. The world would like to convince you that it's other things outside, because the world never teaches success, it teaches failure. And the world always wants to blame something. It always finds something to blame what's going on. It's the weather, it's the economy, it's the disease, it was my mother, it was my father, it was my drinking, it was this, it was that, whatever. That's blaming. So in 2008, don't blame anybody. There's no one to blame. There's no one to blame. And certainly don't blame yourself. What do you do with yourself? You forgive and love yourself. You have to sit and forgive and love yourself. There's nothing you can do about the past. The past is the past. That's why it's called the past. But we like to drag it into the future all the time. We like to drag it into this moment. Well, if you keep dragging the past in, you're going to keep repeating that. You're just going to keep doing the same thing. And you know that. You've seen people in situations for 30 years. They are in the same damn situation. And they cannot think themselves out of it. You know. So don't do that to yourself. It's no way to go through life. You have to realize that you have power. So you can't make the statement, all I am is God, but I'm not all that God is, and then let your life just go by the wayside. That power is in you, you see. So use it. Never be defeated. Have endurance. Keep on trucking. Keep on working, and it comes, what you want. The other thing, remember, we have to take an action. You have to take an action. After you say you want $50,000 a year, now you have to look around and see, oh, here, there, and everywhere. But you leave that open so that this thing that we call God can also do something that you can't even think of. But you have to start doing something. It's always treat and move your feet, you see. You have to do something so that you get this whole energy, this whole emotion working to attract back to you what you want. You see. Mm-hmm. You've seen The Secret?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the movie The Secret? Well, everyone makes a great big to-do about The Secret. It's been around for absolute years. It's very metaphysical. And boils down to what you think about, you bring about. It's the law of attraction. You have to realize that it's a mental world we live in, and you're using your thinking to create things, and you're using your feeling to create things, you see. And once you realize that, that's why, remember, a month or so ago, we had an affirmation, I'm successful. Well, you do the affirmation, I'm successful, then you have to feel successful, you see. You have to feel successful. People are waiting to be successful before they feel successful. You have to feel something first, and then you become that. You become successful. So, every day you have to get up and say to yourself, I am successful. I am successful. And then look around and see why you're successful. One of the reasons why you're successful is you get out of bed. You get out of bed. And then don't sabotage yourself. I was working with a young lady who wants a job and so forth. Now, she's always been able to get jobs faster than anyone, but she does have a few little quirks, so to speak. So the last job, I said, well, I see that done for you. Well, she called me the other day. She said, Dallas, I didn't get that job. And I said, oh? She said, yes, but it was me. I was late for the appointment. And the man left. So she never got to the interview on time. They did a study at Stanford University, and they asked successful people, what is the number one thing that has made you successful? And the answer was, I'm on time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on time. Always arrive on or before time. Make that an affirmation in your life. I arrive on or before time. Nothing will hinder your life more and not being one time. People hate it, you see. Doesn't, and it speaks volumes of who you are.
I've never heard anybody say that before, but that's one of my personal things, is always being
on time, yes.
And once I say something, I'm always on time.
Yes.
It's the thing.
Right. It's a wonderful thing.
I never heard anybody say that before. Right. Like that. It was always just my, I always felt it was my thing.
Yeah. No. Once you do an affirmation, I always arrive on or before time. Then you always arrive on or before time. So it doesn't matter what the traffic's doing or anything. See, because the traffic is just traffic. It has nothing to do with anything. People love to blame their life on the traffic. Especially, you know, which is so ridiculous here in California. Because if they know that the traffic's that bad, then leave earlier. You see. But they think the equation is, I'm late, but it was the traffic, equals I'm on time. You see, they blame something outside of themselves.
But I realize I just said that I had this thing about always being on time, and we weren't on time tonight here. Because tonight on time here was 7 o'clock.
Yes.
You know.
But you'll make up for that.
No, but I was in the right direction before getting here, because we were going back 28 years. I was going back like 26 years. And it was all about positive visualization, manifestation, and from 26 years ago to now, and here we are. And even though we were a little late.
Yeah. But make it a habit to be on time. And then with this young lady then, not only that was self-sabotaging, by the way. Your mind loves to do that to you. Mm-hmm. So this is when you have to realize what's going on. Why was I late? You see. Because your mind didn't want you to go. The mind is a very peculiar thing. Your mind does not want you to know who you are. Because your mind wants you to believe that you are it. And you are not your mind. Your mind is just there for you to use. But it takes on a life of its own, and it has what we call the ego. And the ego likes to take over, and people think, oh, I am my ego, I am my mind. Well, you're not. But it's easy for people to realize that they're not their body. If I say to somebody, you know you're not your body. Oh, no, I know I'm not your body. But you know you're not your mind. Oh, no, I am my mind. That's my, I think, and I have these thoughts and all that. Well, thinking and thoughts are not you. They're just thinking and thoughts. They have nothing to do with you whatsoever. You know? Especially the crazy thoughts that come into your head. Your mind just loves to spout out anything to you. Or spew out anything to you. So, learn to become a witness to your own thinking. And take responsibility for your thinking. And then you can change your thinking. And learn to think the thoughts that you want to think. And learn to feel the feelings that you want to feel. Which we're never taught. But that is what life is all about. So, learn. You want your mind to tell you good things about yourself. But you allow your mind to tell you horrible things about yourself. And you think, oh, well, that's real because my mind told me that. Well, who is this mind? Where is this mind? Why is your mind? What is it, a parent? What is this mind? An authority figure of some sort that can tell you things? You have to be your own authority in your life. So you have to take control of your mind so that you can become your own authority. Otherwise, it's going to do you in. And you change your mind by noticing what's going on and then putting in a good thought to replace that thought. You see. When I started to do affirmations, I visualized this, a bowl full of water. And all that water was all the negativity inside of me. And every time I said an affirmation, I dropped a rock or a pebble into this bowl of water. I did enough of those till all the rocks filled up and all the negativity flowed out over the sides of the bowl. That's how you do it. Now, What did I just do to do that? What did I use to do that? I used my imagination. People heal themselves with the imagination. Mm-hmm. Years ago, there was some... They were from Texas. It was a man and a woman. I'll think of their name. It'll come to me because I have a good mind. They were the ones who treated children with cancer. And that was during a, how many years ago that was? That they taught them the little Pac-Man, remember, that used to eat things? They taught them to imagine the Pac-Man inside of them eating up the cancer. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, these children cured themselves by using their imagination. That's how powerful your imagination is. And that's how powerful your mind is. But it's a tool for you to use, not to think that it's you. Do you understand? Do you understand?
Absolutely.
You say. The mind is very convincing. It's like the outside world. Race mind is very convincing. It convinces everyone that it's the peak of the flu season. You're saying, that's convincing. Your own mind convinces you. What does your mind say? Oh, you're tired today. You're saying, your body can't get tired, but remember what I just told you. The body has no physical causation. Your mind does. If you keep your mind alive, your body stays alive. If you think I am filled with energy, you're filled with energy. If you think I'm tired, you're tired. But you're doing it. You're causing it. The body doesn't cause that. So, your mind is very powerful. So use it in this coming year. And learn to really use it and learn to use your imagination. Learn to know that this is an absolute mental world. Once you realize that this is a mental world and that you are causing everything that comes into your life improves. Because now you have no one to blame it on, and you realize, oh, that's a thought. I can change that. I don't have to think that way. And then you change your thinking. And when you change your thinking, your whole life changes because your perspective changes on everything, you see. Remember, we do not see with our eyes. We see with our mind. You see? So you have to realize, if you want to see something, you have to change your mind. You have to change your mind. And then you start to see what you want to see, instead of allowing your mind to tell you what you're seeing. You say, no, I don't want to see that. I want to see this. I want to see abundance and prosperity everywhere. I want to see money freely circulating in my life. I want to know that I always have a divine surplus. I want to know that when I go to the mailbox, there are checks in the mail. You have to do that. I received two or three checks this week. One was a rebate from the telephone company for $49.95. I went, yay! Yay! That's money. You see? You have to have... There used to be a person who used to... The whole idea of unexpected money. You have to be prepared for unexpected money. And looking for unexpected money all the time. You see? And if you start... If you never expect money, unexpected money, you're never going to get it. If you say, So when I go to the mailbox, I always go, oh, somebody will have a check in there for me. Something will happen. Something will happen in there. And it happens. How? I don't know. But that's not my job to know how. You say, I don't have to know how it's done. I just have to accept it and let it come to me. And let it come to me. So, in this new year, use your mind. How long is it going to take you? You're in a class of metaphysics which deals with the mind. We know that if we change our mind, we change our life. You've been in this teaching. How long have you been in this teaching?
20 years.
20 years. Now, how long has the teaching been in you?
Probably one and a half to two years.
Yes. You see, you can talk about this, you could be in it, but you have to get it inside of you.
Mm-hmm. I had bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Would filter in. But I'd go back to believing my mind and the world.
Yeah.
But each time, more filtered in and stayed longer.
Yeah. And you used to allow your mind to take it right down the tubes, didn't you?
Absolutely.
Didn't it used to tell you that you're going to live under the bridge?
Blame myself and make myself wrong and not enough and not worthy. And
yes.
Which is why I worked with you for a solid, faithful, consistent 2 years.
Yes. And now you don't have all that anxiety and all those things.
No, you said you now have to go be the work.
Yes, you have to be it. You can't study this all the time. You have to start being it. See, it's nice to come here on Thursday nights, and this is an uplift. Oh, everyone loves to come. Oh, he says the nicest things. Oh, you know, he teaches positive thinking. I do not teach positive thinking. I've never taught positive thinking. Positive thinking is a side effect of this teaching. You start to think positive. I don't teach positive thinking. See, I teach metaphysics. But because of it, you start to do it the same way. If you stretch your consciousness, your prosperity consciousness, money will follow. But if you still think that your money consciousness is only this big, that's all it's ever going to be. You have to stretch it and allow more to come into your life. You see? And it will come into your life. That's the idea. First page on this thing, what does it say? Your business will never grow more than you do. Nothing in your life will grow till you grow. Nothing grows till you start to grow. And how do you start to grow? By thinking bigger, better thoughts of yourself. By knowing that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. If everyone in the world was taught that, the world would be in harmony all the time. But because people think they don't deserve anything, we're in the turmoil all the time that we're in. Emmett Foss in The Mental Privilege said, if you're going to teach children anything, teach them that it's the mental world that they live in. And children are the perfect ones to learn that because they have that imagination and they can realize, you see, they can use their mind very quickly. But if you don't tell them that and teach them that, they start to imitate their parents and imitate the people that are around them. We've learned all our habits, all our thinking from our parents or from people around us. You see, that's why when people say, I'm living my life. No, you're not living your life. You're living your parents' life. You're living your parents' life. I came from a very small town in Duncannon, called Duncannon in Pennsylvania. It had 2,500 people in it, and I lived 3 miles outside of that in farm country. So, Pennsylvania, in that small town of 2,500, there's probably six or more taverns, they called them then, beer joints. So everyone is in these beer joints. So a lady that we called Aunt Matt lived in that town. And then she moved. Her and her husband went to New York. She was gone about 20 years, and she came back. And she stopped to see my mother. And she had been downtown Duncannon. And my mother said, well, has Duncannon changed? She said, the only thing I can see that's changed is, she said, now the children, the people that used to be on the bar stools, are now on the bar stools. Because that's the way small towns work, and that's the way small minds work. You just keep repeating what your parents did. Mm-hmm. They went to work. I'll tell you that we had friends called the Kaufmans. They lived in Coatesville, Pennsylvania. Coatesville, Pennsylvania had the Lincoln Steel Company. The father worked for Lincoln Steel Company. They lived on a street called Fleetwood Street, and it was called, the railroad ran right by it. It shook the house and everything. So he worked on the steel mill for I don't know how many years, so they saved up enough money to move off Fleetwood Street onto another street in Coatesville, facing the park. Beautiful place. The children grew up. They moved back onto Fleetwood Street, two boys. moved back onto Fleetwood Street and went to work for Mike and Steel Company. Sorry. You just repeat. You see, you just keep repeating. And then you think, this is my life. No, it's not your life. You know, you have to know who's running your life. And most of the time, when you ask that question, who's running your life, somebody else is running your life. Because somebody else, your parents usually, or some authority figure, gave you this life. And you just keep repeating that same life, that same life. You see, and that's not the way to live. You want to be able to live your own life. Live it the way you want to live it. You see. And don't let anything on the outside tell you that it's wrong or any authority figure. You have to decide, this is what I want and this is who I am and this is the way I'm running my life. How many people keep remembering what their parents said and keep using those same most dumb things that their parents said? You hear people. I often hear in conversations, well, my mother said, or my father always said. Well, who cares what they said? What do you think? What do you think? You see, you don't even, people don't even think about it. They just take for granted, well, my father said that, so it must be true. My father said that, so it must be true. Now, your father may have been a very nice man, but he could have been an idiot for all you know. You have to figure these things out for yourself. So in 2008, do that for yourself. Say to yourself all the time, what do I want? What do I want from life? And make it your life, not somebody else's life. How many people do you know that say, oh, I just turned into my mother? I just turned into my mother. Now, if you're an individualized expression of this thing that we call God, you don't turn into somebody else. You turn into yourself. You find out what gifts you came here with, what talent you came here with, what creativity you came here with, and you use that. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, Men were born to be rich or inevitably grow rich by the use of their faculties. Inevitably grow rich by the use of their faculties. You have within inside of you everything that you need to become wealthy, to become rich, if that is what you want. But you don't say to yourself and allow your mind to say, oh, I'm not smart enough, or that person's smarter than I am. When you do that, you're saying to yourself, I am less than. And if you have less than consciousness, you're going to have less than. So you have to know what you're thinking. You have to know where your beliefs are. And use those beliefs to propel you, you see, to what you want to do. And if your belief isn't working for you, you change that belief. Now here's an interesting thing that psychology has figured out. By the age of 5, most people have made up their minds. Their belief systems are set. And they become what they call guiding beliefs or core beliefs. And what you make up your mind about is where you'll live, who you'll marry, how much money you'll make, all those things are made up at the age of 5. That is before you are emotionally ready or mentally ready to do that. But the mind does that because that's an early age and you see people around you. So you say, oh, my dad works on the railroad. I'll work on the railroad. I'll do this, that, the other thing. My father didn't go to college, so I guess I won't go to college. Learn to think for yourself. But know that you can do what you want in life. You have to make up your mind what you want. Then you have to keep your mind focused on that long enough for the universe to be able to fill that for you. To be able to fill that for you. That's what it's all about. The infinite intelligence which gave me this desire leads, guides, and reveals to me the perfect plan for the unfolding of my desire. I know the deeper wisdom of my subconscious is now responding, and what I feel and claim within is expressed in the without. There is balance, equilibrium, and success in my life. And so it is. Isn't that wonderful? There is balance, equilibrium, and success in my life. The next one. I open my mind to divine ideas. New, uplifting, and prosperous thoughts take over my thinking now. I'll read that again. I open my mind to divine ideas. New, uplifting, and prosperous thoughts take over my thinking now. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and therein is the lesson. Thank you.
There's a basket for donations and...